Thank you, Brother Darrell. Good evening. Good to be here with you again. Unfortunately, our last time for this time. I want to thank Brother Gerald for his kind words, and we give the glory to God for what has been said and accomplished, and we pray that his word has been a blessing to all of our hearts and encouraged our lives as we walk the road of life. We were planning on leaving tomorrow, and as I said, Brother Roddy's a bit disappointed, but so am I, but at least we have another day with you. We can say another day. The weather has been terrible in Abaco for the last 2 days, and Richard was coming for us, but he had something he had to do, so perhaps we never know. God works in his own way. On Thursday, maybe God willing, the weather will be much better. We want to thank you so much for your encouragement in our lives. My wife and I have been tremendously blessed, we must say, during this time that we've spent with you. Thank you for your love and all that you've done for us. We love you, and we look forward to coming back again, maybe next year, Lord willing, if it be the will of the Lord. Turn with me this evening for a short while. I woke this morning with these thoughts in my mind. I had previously thought of something else to speak on this evening, but I felt very strongly led to look at this passage of Scripture and share with you a few thoughts that I pray might be an encouragement in our lives this evening. In John chapter 13, and then in John chapter 14, I'll read a couple portions from each. And what we want to think about and look at is a troubling moment, a defining moment, and a touching moment. In John chapter 13, verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. Notice that. He was troubled in spirit. And he testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. The disciples looked one on another, uncertain of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. And we know this to be John. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him. As I was reading through this, the thought came to my mind, what happened to Simon? Simon was always quick to speak. He didn't let anybody else beat him to the draw. He was always first man out. But this time, and I'm sure it was for a reason, Simon beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Verse 30, he then, Simon, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Move on to verse 36. For the sake of time, we can't read through all of it. Simon Peter, now we get to Simon. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied knowing me thrice. Asad. Verse 1 of chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Father, again, it is your word, and we pray that you might use it this evening to encourage our hearts. Just be with each one, we pray, as we allow you to speak to us, and we'll be careful to thank you for whatever is accomplished. In your name we pray. Amen. I believe that this meeting that Jesus had with his 12 disciples after the Passover feast, because this that we read this evening took place after they had had the Passover feast. And I believe as we study through this and think about it, this was perhaps the most difficult meeting that the Lord Jesus had ever had with his disciples. Yes, they had been through many difficult times together over the past 3 years. We read of it over and over again through the Gospels. And yes, they had gone through and experienced many wonderful things. Feeding the 5,000, raising the dead, healing the sick, opening the eyes of the blind. Things that perhaps that they experienced, they never dreamed could happen in a lifetime. Walking with Jesus, just the fact that they were walking with Jesus, God in the person of his Son, was an experience of a lifetime, and one I'm sure that they would never forget. These were wonderful moments in their lives. But now, in this room, on this night, the Lord Jesus has some very troubling words to say to them. What is this that he is talking about? What has happened? Well, to begin with, the first verse that I read to you indicated that the Lord Jesus himself was troubled. This was a difficult moment, I believe, for him, a troubling moment, because he knew what he was about to say. He knew what was going to happen. And the scripture says he was troubled in his spirit. I don't know what the expression on his face may have been. We don't know what the tone of his voice was. We don't know whether there was a look of sorrow in his eyes. But whatever. We don't know. But whatever. He says this: one of you shall betray me. Can you imagine that? Perhaps they all sort of fell back and said, what? One of you shall betray me. Scripture says they looked at each other. This was a defining moment in their lives. After 3 years of all that they had experienced, here they are now, the 12 of them, sitting alone with Jesus. They had just finished the Passover feast. And now he looks into their eyes. We can only imagine how they felt from a human standpoint. If you and I were in a group together in such a manner, after such a period of time, and the things that we had gone through, to have someone look at us and say, one of you will betray me. They were not sure. Who? Why? What? They were not sure of who it was. And so we see Peter, as I mentioned, as I was reading. Normally he would have jumped up and said something, but he didn't. He just perhaps nudged John, who was sitting next to him, and he asked John to ask the Lord Jesus, who is it? Who is it? I'm sure that they were all curious to know which one of the 12 was the one that he was expressly talking to. And notice that John asked Jesus the question. John asked him, "Who is it, Lord?" in verse 25. And notice the response of the Lord Jesus in verse 26. Jesus said, "He it is." He didn't call a name. He didn't call a name. He didn't embarrass anybody. What a loving Savior. What a loving Lord. He loved Judas, although he knew who he was. Although he knew what he was going to do. But yet he loved him enough not to embarrass him with all of the other those sitting around. He said, "He it is to whom I will give a sop when I have dipped it." And the scripture says, he dipped it and he handed it to Judas Iscariot. He handed it to Judas. That was a defining moment in the life of Judas Iscariot. He had specifically been marked as the one that would betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they fully understand? I would think so. Did they understand what this was all about? Perhaps not to the full extent that you and I do today. But nevertheless, Judas knew what he was going to do. He knew what he had already said to the high priest. And verse 30 says that he then, having received the bread, went out immediately. And notice what it says. And it was night. It was night. A dark moment, not only in his life, but a dark moment in history. But Jesus wasn't finished yet. He wasn't finished yet. There was something else that he had to say. In response, we see to a question that was asked by Peter in verse 36, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus gave him a direct answer. He said, "Whither I go, you cannot follow me now. But I like what he said. You shall follow me afterwards." Isn't that wonderful? "Peter, you're my child, but I'm going alone. I'm going alone, but you will follow me afterwards." What assurance. What blessed assurance. You and I have that assurance tonight. If you and I know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, one day we're going to be with Him. One day we're going to follow Him home. And what a joy that will be. What a privilege that will be to live with Him forevermore. And then notice Peter says, "Why, Lord? Why can't I go with you?" He says, "I will lay down my life for your sake." You know, we find fault lots of times with Peter at what he used to say, how quick he was to speak. Many of us at times say he had foot and mouth disease, which is probably true, and it probably is true of many of us. But we need, I was thinking as I was studying through this, we need as God's people to be very careful what we say, what we sing, what we pray. Because God is listening. God is listening. He hears everything. He hears everything. Be very sure that we mean what we say and say what we mean. God knows our hearts. You know, many times we sing as believers, "I surrender all." Are we really surrendered to Jesus Christ? Is our lives completely in His control? And oftentimes we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And we can go on and on with things that we sing and what we say. But are we really sincere as we ought to be? Are we really sincere in what we say? In our love and in our service for the Savior. He's listening. He's listening. He hears it all. He knows the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. And notice what he said to Peter. In verse 38, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" Come on, Peter. Do you really mean that? Do you understand what you're saying, Peter? That you are willing to die for me? To give your life for me? No. No, Peter. You don't really mean that. You're just saying that from your mouth, your lips, but your heart is far from it. I know your heart. I know your heart. And there was a defining moment again in the life of Peter. He said, "Peter, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock or the rooster shall not crow till thou hast denied knowing me three times." Wow. Here was a man that had been with the Lord, faithfully following him, gave up his nets, gave up practically his lifestyle. He was a fisherman. All that he had. Left father, mother, home, family, and followed Jesus for 3 years. And yes, he loved Jesus, but he didn't love him as he ought. Yes, he was willing to say, "Lord, I will die for you," from the lips, but the heart was far from it. Jesus said, "Will you lay down your life for me?" No. This night, you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. What a serious thought. But you know, beloved, what Jesus said to both these men came true. Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus, and he went out, the scripture says, and he hanged himself. He went to hell. On the other hand, Peter, the scripture says, denied the Lord Jesus that very night, or early that morning, the next morning, three times in succession. He denied, "I do not know him. I know not the man." And the scripture says he began to swear and to curse, "I know him not." And then Jesus passed by and looked in his eyes. And it broke Peter's heart. But he didn't go out and hang himself, thank God. The scripture says that he went out and he wept bitterly. The defining moment in the lives of these two men. And oh, what a difference. What a difference. But I use those two instances to bring us to the main thought of my message this evening. And that is the touching moment. The touching moment of it all. You know, as this was going on, there is no doubt in my mind that the Lord Jesus was looking directly into the eyes of these 12 men. He was looking at the expression on their faces. He knew the thoughts that flashed through their minds. He knew their hearts. He knew their desires. And he listened to their words, because I'm sure that they were talking quite a bit among themselves. You know, you put 12 men together and they're going to talk. We often complain about the women talking, but brethren, I think we do our share as well. But in this instance, they were talking. Jesus was listening. And he knew how deeply these men were hurting. You see, he could look deep into the caverns of their heart. He knew now how they were hurting. One was about to betray him, the other about to deny him. What's happening? Perhaps these men were now even distressed. Perhaps now they were discouraged and asking themselves, what is going on? This is not real. Where did it all go wrong? Where did it go wrong? And oh, beloved, tonight this reminds me of ourselves. So many times in our own personal lives, because of situations that occur, we find ourselves becoming discouraged. We find ourselves giving up in despair. Sometimes we may perhaps feel that the heavens are as bronze and God has left us. Perhaps sometimes we've asked the question in life, why me, Lord? Why me? And there is a song that I want to share a couple of verses with you. And a song that goes like this. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? And there's the answer. Oh, yes, He cares. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief on a personal basis. My grief, your grief. His heart was touched as He looked in the eyes of His beloved followers that sat with Him there that night. And He cared and He loved them. Song says, when the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Beloved, He cares. He cares. We must believe that He cares. He cares for you. He cares about you. He cares about whatever circumstance or situation you may be faced with even tonight. And I don't know, but He knows. He knows your life. He knows your heart. He knows what's happening about you. Everything about us. And He loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us with a love that will never fade. A love that will never die. God's love. 1 Peter 5:7 reminds us that we're to cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. And then as we look in this chapter 14, what a wonderful response. And I believe with all my heart that this response came about because of what Jesus saw and felt in the eyes and the hearts of His beloved disciples. Remember, Judas was gone. It was only 11 of them left now. But He looked beyond their faults and He saw their needs. And here is what He had to say. And I trust this will be an encouragement to our hearts this evening. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Yes, we live in a difficult time. We live in a difficult period of life when there's trouble all around. But beloved, this evening, I urge you on the authority of God's Word, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Believe in God. God is still on the throne. God isn't dead, as some people would have you believe. When you see them yelling and shouting and making so much noise as if He's deaf or He's asleep or He's dead, God's not dead. He's alive. He lives. And if you're His child this evening, He lives within your life. He's in your heart and your life. And we need to trust Him. Have faith in God. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. He knew they were hurting. He knew that their hearts were breaking. But He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. In My Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. This is an answer to Peter's question. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Not somebody else. He ain't going to send Gabriel for us. He ain't going to send some other angel from heaven. But he says, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Believe in God. Oh, and that's all that he asks you and I this evening. Believe in God. In simple words, we might put it this way. It may look bad. It may sound bad. But look up. Because God is in control. He is in charge of every facet of our lives, every situation of our lives. And I am a firm believer that whatever happens in life, it happens for a reason and a purpose in life. And God is saying to you and I, it's in my hands. It's in my hands. I can handle it. Beloved, if God can't handle it, you and I certainly can. We try so often and we make a genuine mess sometimes. But God never makes any mistakes, thank God. He never makes any mistakes. He says, look toward heaven. Look towards my Father's house. He says, believe me, it's real. I wouldn't have told you, he said, if it was not so. I go to prepare a place for you. Beloved, tonight, what a blessed assurance. Is there any other assurance that you can be given tonight that can surpass or even compare to that assurance? None. Absolutely none. We have no assurance in this life other than as God tarries, we will die. That's the only assurance that we have. Everything else will fade and pass away. But we guarantee that because the Scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die and after death the judgment of God. But we have that assurance this evening. And tonight, if we're discouraged, if we're downhearted, what a promise. What a promise he has given you and I. The same promise he gave the disciples, he gives to you and I. And you know something? A half of that promise has been fulfilled. A half of that promise has been fulfilled. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, we read this in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And there is the other half that will be fulfilled. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Half of it's already been fulfilled. He's gone. The other half, he's coming back. He's coming back. And the Scripture reminds us of this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. It tells us all about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's our future. Some of us may have already gone home. But one day, collectively, we're going to be called together to meet the Lord in the air. It says, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful day that's going to be. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Beloved, this evening, as I close, maybe keep the faith. Maybe keep looking up. Amidst the test and the trials of life, remember what our Savior said. Remember the words that he spoke to his beloved disciples. He's gone, but he's coming back. Maybe keep focused. Oh, beloved, maybe keep our eyes upon Jesus. Maybe just determine within our hearts to serve him to the best of our abilities. He loves us. There's no doubt about that. No matter what happens in our life, he loves us. And his promise to the disciples in that touching moment of time, you and I can claim that this evening because he is our Savior. And one day He will be our King forevermore. Oh, may God bless our hearts this evening. May we keep trusting Him. Keep looking up to Him and experiencing His love in our hearts and lives. And I close with this thought, and I trust that you take it with you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He is faithful. He is faithful. May God bless you, is our prayer for His name's sake. Amen. Father, we thank you this evening for these beautiful thoughts from your precious word. We pray that our hearts have been blessed and encouraged, because we know that we are your children as well. We know that you care for us as well as you did your disciples. We know that you look into our eyes, our hearts, and you know the needs, you know the difficulties, and you love us just the same. So, oh God, may we keep the faith. May we keep looking to you. May we remember that we are in your hands. And, Father, with you all things are possible. I pray, oh God, for this assembly. I pray for these dear loved ones that you would just continue to be with them. Lord, may they grow in grace and the knowledge of your word. Thank you for the young people, Father. May they be encouraged, Lord, to move on and grow stronger in your grace. We pray for those that share the word. Oh God, bless, we pray, encourage and challenge and comfort. And in every way, Lord, may you be honored, uplifted and glorified. Thank you for this precious time we've been able to spend here, Lord. And we credit you with whatever has been said or done, for you are worthy of our praise. We ask this now, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want us to sing in closing hymn number 400, just one verse and the chorus, and our service will be over. And may God bless you for coming this evening. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. Just the first verse and the chorus. Let's stand as we sing together.